must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before
guess who that is? Guess who that is? That, of course, is Bob Dylan. This is Rick Cogan. The show's the Sunday Papers. Happy Labor Day. I hope you're resting up and do something nice tomorrow and do something. One nice thing to do would be to read. Is this book even out yet, Dennis Foley? We Speak Chicagoese, because that's what we're talking about with you and Penny Golden for the next hour. You can buy this now, right?
Yes, it is out, Rick. It came out about 2 weeks ago.
Good. What is it?
We Speak Chicagoese, and you think of that term Chicagoese, but people might think of people in the area who talk with a all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But it's stories and poems about Chicago by Chicago writers.
You say in the nice introduction that you wrote with your pal Bill Donlan, is Chicagoese an actual language? And you write that words that make the city's neighborhoods spring to life. That is as good a definition as I've ever heard. Penny Golden, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Penny does frequent interviews at the Beverly Arts Center, where there's a big party on September 17th in honor of this book, and we'll talk more about that. How were you involved in the book, Penny?
I did have the delightful pleasure of reading through it for Dennis, and I did a little bit of editing, and because I do author afternoons at the Beverly Arts Center, Dennis asked me if I would help him with the book launch.
Oh, how nice. How nice. But before we talk more, you guys are going to be here for the whole hour. How did you get involved, Penny, in this author program that's been going on now for 7 years?
It'll be 7 years in January, and I've always been involved in the Beverly Arts Center since my kids were small. But my big hobby is reading. I've always been a big reader. And when my kids were little, I would fold laundry in front of the computer watching interviews on BordersMedia.com.
Wow. And you said to yourself, wait a minute, I can do this.
I said I could do this and better. So I pitched it to the executive director at that time, and he said, sure, try it, see how it goes. So in January, 7 years ago, I had this wonderful young man, Dave Reedy, and I interviewed him about his short story collection, Captive Audience. And that's how it got started, and I've been doing it almost every month since.
Wow, that's pretty demanding, because that's not your full-time job.
No, it's my volunteer. It's my volunteer gig. I'm actually a nurse who loves to read.
Well, that you're a saintly woman then. Dennis, how did this book come to be? Whose idea was it? And because you have a gathering of, I didn't count them all. I am among them, but did not count them all. It must be 25, 30?
Yeah, and there's 33 stories and poems in there, and there's 25 writers total. And it was a long process. It started probably 3 years ago or so.
Why?
It's one of those things where, I didn't look at it as trying to put together the definitive book on by Chicago writers.
Sure.
But I thought it would be really cool to get a collection of stories together by what I consider to be some, truly great and inspirational writers. The people that, when they write too, they may write about a lot of things, but they also write about Chicago. And that's the city that,
This is your heart, because you too have written about Chicago. You too have been involved in a movie about specifically the Beverly area. I mean, you are about as dyed in the wool of Chicago as I know, Dennis.
Yeah, and I like to look at myself, we moved a bunch as a kid growing up.
Sure.
But it was all bouncing around from apartment to apartment in the South Side. So, I really knew the South Side. Now, when I went to work for the city many years ago, I always thought, hey, I know the North Side too, but I realized how much I didn't know until I started working for the city and then expanded that knowledge.
Penny Golden, have you ever interviewed this young man as part of your series?
I haven't yet.
Oh, that's shameful of you, Penny. That's shameful. Dennis, you have two books published so far about as vastly different as two books could possibly be. The first one, and talk about that one. And Penny, please get involved in this.
Will do.
Do your stuff with him. Do your stuff with him.
I mean, the Streets and Sandman's Guide to Chicago Eats, that came about during my last year. I was a last-year student at Columbia College. And everybody's at work on their tale of woe or whatever they're working on.
Yeah, and the life of a writer, a novel about a writer who can't get a book published and the girl who hates him.
And I started writing food reviews for a class that Sam Weller taught.
Sure,
you know, Sam,
a mutual friend.
Yeah, great guy. And he got a kick out of these, and he put me in touch with Lake Claremont Press. And I had about 15 of these food reviews because, hey, Streets and Sand guys do like to go out and eat lunch.
Yes, they do.
So it was a natural to write about it and, you know, places that I like to go and eat. And then, you know, it sprung into 100 stories.
It's a charming book, as you know that. We've talked about it on the show. We've talked about it in private. It's a charming book, and it sold well.
It did. I mean, Lake Claremont Press, you know, they were real happy with it. They had asked me to do a, you know, kind of like a updated version on it. And I still remember being at a book fair for them one time. And I said, yeah, you know, I don't really want to do it because I want to, you know, I just resigned my city job as an electrician.
Right.
And I didn't really feel as though I would carry the same weight. And some guy at the book fair was overhearing this conversation. He says, hey, what are you, stupid? And I said, what? He goes, you just call it this former Streets and Sandman's Guide to Chicago Eats. So,
everybody's a genius when it comes to publishing. Yep. We got to take a break. I'm going to be here all hour with writer, now I'm calling you writer entrepreneur Dennis Foley and Penny Golden. Penny, every month, interviews authors at the Beverly Arts Center. And I do want to talk a bit about the Beverly Arts Center, too. I think that is such a sort of not ignored but underappreciated local cultural gem. So we'll take a little break and carry on.
If you're traveling in the North Country Fair, where the winds hit heavy on the borderline.
I'm just telling Dennis Foley and Penny Golden that the reason I'm playing Bob Dylan is that I like Bob Dylan. And Bob Dylan's a pretty good writer, too, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Indeed.
He'd be a good guy to interview with.
He would. You think I could get him?
I don't know. You never know. With a guy like Dylan, you never know.
Right.
I mean, I like to go there. Yeah, he's a... And one of the funny things about songwriters is... They're often not even thought of in the same literary mold as short story writers or poets, and I think they should be.
Absolutely.
I really do.
I agree.
And Rick, you know, it's funny when you say, you know, they take a shot, go ahead and ask them, see what happens.
Right.
Because that same thing happened when the Drunkard's Son came out.
That was Dennis's second book. Remarkable.
A buddy of mine, Kevin McGuire, said, yeah, why don't you go and see if... you know, go ahead and check it out and see if our good old buddy who wrote the black patent leather shoes really reflect
John Powers. Yeah.
He said, why don't you check in with John Powers and see if he'll read it and give you a blurb. And I said, John Powers isn't going to give me a blurb. That guy, he's big time. I contacted him. He said, yeah, send me the book. I'll be glad to. And then he gave me a nice little something to put
on. One of the things I think both of you have learned over the last few years, roughly 7 years for each of you, is that writers are not the monsters and solitary figures and weirdos they're sort of that we've been led to believe. They're very accessible. Penny, have you ever had anybody that you've tried to get who said, oh, no, I don't do things like that?
Only one, and I'm not going to say who it was. But usually people really, I actually had John Records Landecker say to me at the Printers Row Lit Fest, as I was talking to the Eckhart's Press guys,
sure,
why haven't you had me down to the Beverly Arts Center?
Yeah.
So I said, I was afraid you'd say no. And he's like, well, what are you doing July 15th? And I had him down and interviewed him.
That's great. Wasn't he fun?
He was fantastic.
And the book's a very forthcoming book, too.
It is.
I thought it was a very, very honest book. You got some big names for this book. Carl Sandburg, you didn't call him on the phone.
Right.
But how did you, I'm curious how you got the Sandburg rights. I mean, how was that difficult, Dennis?
Yeah.
Because you have his famous poem, Chicago, in here.
Right. And then, and then other people in there, too, like you mentioned, you know, I didn't think someone like Stuart Dybeck would say, sure, I'd like to
be there. Stuart Dybeck, arguably Chicago's greatest living writer.
Yeah. And I had met him years ago, just you know, down to earth, regular
Joe. You found his number, you found his email, and
you reached out to him, and then
and what did you say?
And I just I let him know that I had met him at a conference that he spoke at before, and I said I really liked the one story that you had, you know, and I told him what we were doing, putting together Chicago stories by Chicago writers, and I said I remember you had a story about a couple of field trips that you guys took when you were kids, and he says yeah, he goes oh, he goes yeah, he goes that, and I said and didn't you have a poem about the Cubs, and he said yeah, and I said well, I looked it up online, and this is the one I'm thinking of, and he said sure, and then he says well let me check on those, he goes but I'll tell you what, I'll get right back to you, and I'd be glad to have it in there.
So. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. Sherwood Anderson, you didn't call him. He's been dead for a while. But were the rights to those, I mean, the Sandberg poem, Chicago, are those public domain
yes,
now?
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Are they really?
Yeah, and which was nice, too, because, you know, it allowed us to use poems and stories that kind of cover the whole gamut of, you know, working their way up from the 1900s up to present day. And you have your contemporary writers, and you have some of these, I like to call them the literary legends, those folks that were around, and a number of these people like Sherwood Anderson and Sandberg and, you know, Ben Reitman. These were guys.
Ben Reitman's an interesting one.
Oh, yeah.
Tell people who Ben Reitman was.
Ben Reitman, the more I've uncovered about this guy, the more I've just kind of, I'm working, researching more and more about him because, you know, he was this really interesting mix of a lot of different things, but he grew up a kid that, you know, it was very endearing to his mother, but he traveled around as a, you know, as a hobo back in the day, covered all kinds of ground. He eventually went on and became a doctor, and basically he took care of the destitute, you know, the prostitutes, the hobos of Chicago.
Sure.
And then
in the neighborhood of Bughouse Square, when that whole neighborhood near the Newberry Library was a that stretch of Clark Street was something out of someone's nightmares for many years. Yeah, I was so glad to see Reitman in here. And another one who is ever entertaining for me as a human being and a writer is Mike Houlihan.
Oh, yeah, Hooli, and you know what when you think, and Hooli is one of the funniest persons I've run into.
No question.
And what I really liked about this story here, too, is called On the Aereo, and it's a story about basically Chicago politics.
Yeah.
And, you know, folk looking at it from the eyes of a waiter at the old Heidi Ho bar that was inside the Bismarck Hotel, and there's a great telling that comes from it.
What do you think of this?
I think it is fantastic. I always
Penny,
say...
What was there any story that surprised you the most? I mean, you are now... And do you think... You must think of yourself as part of the sort of literary scene in Chicago.
Well, I like to think of myself.
Yeah, well, I think of you that way now.
I have to say, my favorite story was Patricia Ann McNair's. And part of the reason for that is, you know, it's these young girls coming from the suburbs and going to hang out at Foster Beach. I went to North Park for nursing school, and Foster Beach was where we would go to hang out.
Closest beach.
So,
yeah.
You know, I kind of resonated with that story a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And did you feel, I mean, are you from Chicago?
I'm not. I'm from Youngstown, Ohio.
How long have you been here?
Since I was 17.
That's
came
good
for
enough.
College.
You're a Chicagoan. You're a Chicagoan. Did you feel that sense of this word, as Dennis defines it, this Chicago-ease? How would you define that after having read this book?
I think after having read it, I would define it as little places in our city that still make you feel like you're in Chicago. Because, you know, once you read all of the stories and the poems, you get a sense of many different corners of the city, but we're all one.
Yeah, it's kind of like a mosaic, don't you think? I mean, I think of this book as kind of a mosaic. I was very surprised by some of the pieces. Many, many, many of the authors I know, I thought that Pat Hickey's piece was really quite something. Pat?
You know, Pat Hickey's a great guy.
He
lives out my way. He's in the, you know, the Beverly area, and you know, he's been working for a number of years, you know, as a teacher. But now he's doing great work over at Leo High School.
Yeah.
Where he helps Mr. McGrath there, kind of, you know. You know, keep good things going at that school, and it has you know, great reputation, and a lot of it is because of the energy
that
they're bringing.
Yeah, I'm so proud. Dan McGrath and Pat Hickey, I know there are other teachers over there, but what they're doing at that school is a real, real Chicago heroic kind of success story, don't you think?
Right. Certainly. And my brothers are both Leo guys. I probably would have been a Leo guy, but we had moved and I had to pass St. Lawrence High School if I was to get to Leo. So my
famous, my girlfriend, Father Jack Heschen, and his brother Bill were like these legendary athletes at Leo. And Leo was the school in the day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I think some of this, the book, too, and for me, Penny, it evokes different times in Chicago, too, don't you think?
It does. It really does. I have to say another favorite of mine was Eric Charles May. He has such a distinct writing voice.
At Columbia, yeah.
Yes, and I had the pleasure of interviewing him this summer about his novel Bedrock Faith.
Yep.
If listeners haven't read it, they have to read it. It was absolutely brilliant.
He's a good interview, too.
I think I asked, Dennis was there, I think I asked him three questions, and he just went off and talked for 2 hours.
That's the way Studs used to be, too, the great Studs Terkel, mm-hmm. about whom there's a new biography out that I wrote about today mm-hmm. in the Tribune, the first biography since mm-hmm. Studs' death. I mean, it's good. It's good, too.
Good.
And, you know, Rick, one thing I wanted to tell you was with Pat Hickey, I think if people read this, it'll... what happens in this story without going into it to take away from what a reader might find, you will all be able to identify with that somebody that you run into and they say like, hey, how's it going? Or you might ask them, how's it going? And then they get a 15-minute recitation of everything that's going on in their life.
That's why I never ask anybody. People will say, how was your weekend? And I'm thinking, you don't really want to know. You simply don't want to know.
And then he ends it with, and Hickey, how are your kids? You know, after he just spoke for 15 minutes. So.
Yeah, I liked his story. There's nothing I didn't like in this book. Who's Amy Newman?
Yeah, and Amy Newman is a poet. She's a professor at Northern Illinois. And she has a couple of poems in there. And really, I mean, kind of interesting as far as they both have a different spin on it. But
they
give you some thought.
No question.
And one of my other favorite poems in there, there's a number of them. But I have to say, too, that R.J. Eldredge's poem on Inglewood, what a thing of beauty. It has this kind of like... beat to it. It's four beats per line, four lines of stanza, and it's just like boom, 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 boom. And we'll have ten writers coming out to the Beverly Arts Center to read. And
coming on the 17th.
Ten right. are coming on the 17th. They're each going to do a short reading, and then we'll also do a panel discussion with about five of them.
And you will lead that discussion,
yes,
won't you, Penny? Yeah, you are part of this whole literary scene. I will, during the next half hour, I will ask either of you to read a paragraph you might like. I think I'm going to read Stuart's poem, Clothespins.
Sure.
Because Stuart Dybeck is a local treasure. He writes about Chicago as articulately and beautifully and passionately as any of the giants, as Royko or Studs or Nelson Algren. Believe me, he really, really does. Again, the book is called Chicagoese. You can go to Beverly Art Center. It is the Beverly Arts Center, but you go to beverlyartcenter.org for all the information to see this lovely woman who's been talking here for the last 7 years in relative, just because it's on the South Side, in relative literary obscurity, has been interviewing some of the biggest names, including the great Peter Ferry. You must have, and when you interview them, we got a break in about a minute, but when you interview these people, first of all, it must be a joy for you because you're only interviewing them because you like their work.
Exactly, and I feel authors are like rock stars.
Yeah, and don't you find them to be incredibly accessible, though?
They absolutely
except
are.
Except for jerks like me.
And most of them want to talk about their books.
Except for Foley and Kogan. You know, they're such snobs. And they do want... But, you know, one of the things you have to keep reminding yourself is it's such a solitary pursuit, writing.
It is.
You're alone.
Right.
You're alone. When you get out, you really do want to... meet people and see people and hear what they have to say about your book. We got to take a break, then we'll get some news, and then we will carry on with these two nice people talking about We Speak Chicagoese.
Come, you masters of war, here that build the big guns, here that build the death planes, here that build all the bombs.
I'd love to play that whole song for you just to remind you of that, but I'm going to concentrate on my guests, Dennis Foley and Penny Golden, both of them in here to talk about We Speak Chicagoese, a new, brand new collection of some of Chicago's best writers ever. Carl Sandburg, Ben Reitman, you may not know that name, but you should learn more about him. You're sort of hooked on him, aren't you, Dennis?
Yeah, Reitman, great, fantastic background.
Yeah, and a fantastic, yeah, it's a strange guy. There are also beautiful pictures in here. Who took these pictures?
And I have to tell you, I'm very proud to say those were taken by my my son, who's a graphic designer and photographer. And, you know, he went out. I went out with him one day. But he went out, took the photos, and it just had a great feel to it. I think it adds a lot to the book.
Oh, I do, too. I think they're beautiful. The book is very handsome, and it's only $16. I mean, that's another miracle.
And you know what's funny, too, Rick, is the cover of it. You know, for the Cub fans, they may recognize it, too. But the cover was a picture that he took that then he illustrated from there.
Yeah.
But that's the I'm a hot dog fanatic.
Uh-huh,
and one of
yes.
the hot dog joints I like is over one of my favorites on Irving Park over there near Byron's near Wrigley Field.
Uh-huh.
And this is the parking lot behind Byron's that you've got the photo there that he then illustrated. So
there are all these you people out there getting the inside story on We Speak Chicagoese. Again, your friend Bill Donlan is sort of collaborated. You were telling, I think I cut you off, Dennis, you were telling about 3 years ago, you got this idea, right?
Yeah.
To sort of put together.
Yeah, and, you know, I reached out to different people and contacted them and you know, put feelers out there. We also put some things in, you know, in different ads, you know, like, you know, different, like, poets and writers and then some stuff in Craigslist locally here, you know, reaching out to Chicago writers. And then it just kind of seemed to steamroll back about a year ago where everything just started really kind of to come in. And I sent about 7 or 8 of the different stories and poems out to friends to look at, and they came back with, I don't know if there's a Chicago style,
yeah.
but if there is, this has it.
Wow,
and that
that's
really
great.
Made me feel good.
That's great. I have a story. I was flattered to be asked by Dennis, and it's a story about my aunt's relationship with Nelson Algren and my parents' relationship with Nelson Algren, and it's a story.
And Rick, I don't want to toot your horn here, but I've been getting a lot of good responses from people because I know that's it was a very, you know, I mean, you're letting a big piece of yourself
true.
Go in there.
True.
And it was
true.
Something
I must
that
tell you, I've started
people appreciate that.
I must tell you, I've started a million speeches and probably a million different stories with the same way I started this about the sound of a typewriter being my first memory, and I because I really believe it is. Now, I have offered, there's a gathering on September 17th at 6-ish? What time?
Yes, 6, 7. Yeah, I mean, 6:30, 6:30
kicks
off. If you get
there at 6, nothing's going to happen.
They're going to be rolling out the beer at 6 o'clock, so there'll be food and all that kind of stuff there. Penny's, you know, Rick, with the other books I've been involved with before, we usually have the release parties in bars.
Sure.
So, we're really getting classy on this one and going to the art center. But,
well, but
I said,
you're going to have beer there, right?
Yeah, I said, well, we got to have take care of the common Joe. Let's have some beers and cheers. So they're going to, the Beverly Art Center is great. They're going to have people on staff.
And Penny, you're going to kind of conduct the whole thing. People will read and then you will.
I'll sort of MC along with Dennis, and then I will conduct the panel discussion after the readings.
That's great. You'll sell books there.
Yeah, course. It'll be great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
And sell being the operative word, not have for sale, sell books. I'm going to read shortly after, or I'll do it anytime. It doesn't matter the order here. Penny, you want to read something?
I do. I'd like to read the beginning of Patricia Ann McNair's story, Back to the Water's Edge. My girlfriends always drove because they had cars, cool cars, a Monte Carlo, a Cadillac, and best of all, the Trans Am, boy bait. And that's what we were there for, after all, the boys. That and a place that seemed about as far away as we could get from our landlocked suburban neighborhoods with low-slung ranch houses and two-car garages and flat, trimmed lawns. Foster Beach, the city. You could hear how we capitalized it in the way we said it, like a title, a proper noun. The city. The city. The city. The lake was there, is there, wide and wild, sometimes water rolling and crashing, wild like we wanted to be, pulled by the moon on warm summer nights, and the city twinkled in the high-rises behind us while we stood at the water's edge.
That's lovely.
It's a great story.
Does that remind you of what it was like to be 17?
Oh, it does. At Foster Beach.
Boy bait. Boy bait. All right, I'm going to read. Stuart Dybeck has two pieces in here. One is a short story of which he is one of the masters of contemporary literature, and one is a poem, and he is, I think, he's going to run enough poetry, not as lauded as he should be as a poet. It's called Clothespins. I once hit clothespins for the Chicago Cubs. I'd go out after supper when the wash was in and collect clothespins from under the four stories of clothesline. A swing and a miss was a strikeout. The garage roof, Willie Mays, pounding his mitt under a pop fly. Bushes, a double. Off the fence, triple. And over, home run. The bleachers roared. I was all they ever needed for the flag. New records every game, once 10 homers in a row. But sometimes I'd tag them so hard they'd explode, legs flying apart in midair, pieces spinning crazily in all directions. Foul ball! What else could I call it? The bat was real. That's a lovely little poem. And I think for any kid who grew up in the city with any kind of fascination for baseball, That just sinks so deep.
Yeah, I mean, you could beat a kid in the alley flipping bottle caps up,
sure,
and hit it with a broomstick or,
sure,
or anything at all. I mean, kids that grew up in the area, I mean, we can identify that.
Sure, sure. What do you want to read, Dennis? You want to read something of your own? You want to read,
no. I mean, I was thinking here, there's a professor from Loyola University, and her name is Nadine Kenny Johnstone,
mm-hmm,
and she has one in here. I think I'll read the beginning of it because I think it's something that a lot of parents out there can certainly identify with. So this one,
and you are a parent.
Yes, I am.
As we all are. Many as a parent.
My kids are grown and up in years now, but this one is a little bit different, and it's called, for her young son, it's called Loosen the Edges, Flip Quickly. These days, my son wants things that don't make sense, like milk mixed with watermelon juice. Every night, he stands before the open refrigerator in his Thomas the Train pajamas. His feet are bare, his hair wet and curly from his bath. As he clutches two toy trains in his right hand, he uses his left to point at the cartons in the fridge. When I make his bottle, he says, "More red juice, Mama." I try explaining curdling and tummy aches, but he still insists on this weird concoction. He wants what he wants when he wants it. And when he doesn't get it, he becomes a flurry of flailing limbs. The parenting books describe this impulsiveness, how toddlers' brains are both babyish and mature, developing so quickly and yet so wrought with primal instincts. My husband and I respond with structure and routine. Daycare pick up at 4:30. Then playtime, then dinner at 6:30, bath at 7, bed at 8. At night, Jamie and I sit on the couch discussing how to curb Gio's compulsions and avoid tantrums. Our only solution? More rules and routines. I think that's something that parents out there, we've all kind of had some interesting tantrum kids. The kid who's been in the middle
no
of the grocery store.
I've got you guys for another 15 minutes after a commercial. What's the reception been so far? I've heard from a number of people saying, to me specifically, why else would they write me, that, your stories, typewriters, a great story, blah, blah, blah. You must have heard, both of you, very positive response to this collection.
Yeah, and the word's just now starting to get out too amongst the folks, because now we have there'll be a review coming out pretty soon in a new city. There's going to be some other reviews coming out from like Library Journal, things like that too. But bookstore owners have had advanced copies and other people too, and then. Folks that have read it and are not getting back to us with feedback. Just one talking about, like I said, that these writers all have different styles, but
there's still
yeah, that commonality of like a Chicago voice.
I resonate. Really, it's like some kind of chorus, a very, you know, some off notes, but a very talented chorus that sings the song of Chicago in words. We got to take a short break, and I'll continue on with these two nice people, Dennis Foley and Penny Golden.
Well, I'm walking down the highway with my suitcase in my hand. Yes, I'm walking down the highway with my suitcase in my hand.
That's Bob Dylan, ladies and gentlemen, from one of his early albums, Free Will and Bob Dylan. I have about 15 minutes left with Dennis Foley and Penny Golden. The event takes place, the event in celebration of the formal release of the collection We Speak Chicagoese that features, again, 20-some writers in about roughly 30 or more than 20 pieces, like Stuart Dybeck has a short. You should buy the book because Stuart Dybeck has a short story and a poem in it. It makes it worth the $16 that you can pay at the Beverly Arts Center on September 17th. Get there around 6. Have a beer. The formal program will start at about 7 with some 10 of the authors there reading their stuff from the book, and Dennis and Penny acting as MCs, and then Penny getting deeper into the authors and who they are and what they do and why they're in this book. The Beverly Arts Center, I've mentioned it like 5 times during this hour. It is written about it, too. It is, because it's in Beverly, it's like it isn't thought of on the same level. You know, I walked through the esteemed cultural center where there used to be, that used to be a beehive of activity years ago.
Right.
When the city had some dough, and now it was a shell. It was really horrible to see. And Beverly's not, you know, halfway to the moon. Beverly is close.
It is close. It's about 20 minutes from downtown, you know, if traffic is agreeable.
Sure.
But we have a lot going on. We have concerts and plays. There's wonderful programming for kids. It's a full school of the arts. There's bridge groups that meet. There's Pilates. We also have theater and music classes and painting and pottery.
Yeah, I think it's a real Chicago treasure that is just never gets the attention it deserves to get because, oh, it's on the south side. It's in Beverly.
Right.
That's a shame. Maybe going to see, and Penny does an event there with authors every month, but maybe you should go down on September 17th to participate in this. I think you'll be stunned at what a beautiful building it is and stunned at some of the artwork in that building. Dennis, you must be plenty happy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, somebody had asked me, and I just, you know, it was a really good food for reflection is, you know, what's this like compared to something that you wrote yourself?
Right, sure.
And I, you know, it really makes you think about it. But I said, you know, I when you write something, and whether, you know, it's writing a column or a book or Penny's, you know, she also writes, she works in short stories. And you know, when you finish that something, you really get that that feeling of that you've accomplished something.
And a feeling of relief, too,
question. I tell you, yeah. It was no different with this because I got that same feeling of like, hey, you know what? We look at this gathering of these writers and the stories that we have. I think it's something special here. So I really, you know, I had that same feeling that this is something I'm really – I have a lot of pride in, just like it would be as though it was a book that you wrote yourself.
Yeah, I sense that. I mean, I sense it when I talk to you. I'm sensing it right now. You think there's another one? You know, you are such a kind of creative entrepreneur. I mean, you've got the movie. What's the movie called now?
Yeah, and that's Not a Stranger.
It was called Old Bob.
Bob is what it started out as. And then our lead actor, James Russo, he didn't like the title Old Bob too much because it referred to him. And he doesn't like anything that refers to him as old.
You know, these Hollywood types. Yeah, but he's a good actor.
He did a tremendous job. And I'll tell you, he really helped us out a lot with this because he kept costs down for us. We, you know, I mean, had a major production that quite frankly, I was blown away when Richard Roper gave it 3 stars.
No kidding. He loved it. Richard loved the movie.
And now we're going to go out on the film festival circuit. But James Russo had a lot to do with making this thing happen.
Well, he gave it credibility in a way that
indeed,
a small budget film
right,
can't. I mean, if you had said, Rick Hogan or Pat Hickey is starring in Old Bob, it wouldn't have had the Dennis Foley starring in Old Bob, or John Landecker, it wouldn't have had the cachet of a real actor.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Penny, you seem excited about this upcoming September 17th party, but you also seem, and we just met, terribly rewarded by what you've been doing over the last 7 years, interviewing authors every month.
I am. I started reading at a very young age, and you can ask my husband. I don't do laundry. I read books. little shout out to Steve. And I can read up to 3 books a week. I'm a very fast reader, and I read all genre. But I really, I think books open a world for people that you can't otherwise get to. You can travel to foreign places, and you can explore your creativity. And I don't think there's any better way to do it than books. And that's why I like talking to writers and finding out where their ideas come from and how they do their craft.
Hey, let me ask you, because I rarely get a chance to do this with someone who is in love with books. If any author, living or dead, that you could go to dinner with, who would that be and why? I know that's a very tough question.
That is a really tough question, because
you could always say me.
Well, you're on my list.
Yeah, but far down on that list.
I have 50 books in my top 10 list. So I would probably have to say Charles Dickens.
Not bad.
I read Great Expectations once a year.
I had the opportunity
to see his grave in London last year, and it was the highlight of my trip.
Wow. Dennis, that's interesting. That's interesting. What are you working on after September 17th? Because you're always working on something.
And I'm about to hand off a manuscript first off to Penny to give a look at, just because she's been so helpful with this. I said, hey, Penny, you want to be a reader on something? But I have had a tremendous pleasure writing this thing over the past of a couple of years now, but it has a ways to go, but it's been through a few drafts.
Nonfiction
novel about a city worker
who retires from his job and makes a movie.
Yeah, a city worker who a lawyer who gets disbarred, becomes a city worker, an electrician. And how his connected brother helps him get into, he's a union rep, gets him into the city. And then it kind of takes off from there as far as like events unfold that, the typical twists and turns. But it's a part family saga, part mystery, part city worker expose in a way.
Wow. You're a fine writer. That just the notion of that book excites me. You haven't read it yet, have you?
I haven't yet. I can't wait.
See, this is something you have to put on your want-to-do list, is to have
yes,
is to have one of your conversations. What is the title of your conversation? What's it called?
It's Author Afternoons at the Beverly Arts Center.
And what time do those usually take place?
Usually on Sundays at 2 p.m., although I did a summer book club this summer that was on Tuesday evening, so I may play around with the evening time and see what kind of people come out for that.
Well, and you must also ask people when they come in. Is this a good time for you?
And I also have to work within the constraints of the Art Center calendar, because it is a very vibrant place.
What's coming up for you?
I am looking forward to Bonnie Jo Campbell coming to talk about her book, that short stories about mothers and daughters. And hoping to have Melda Beatty, who is a Beverly gal who is also a playwright, and she has a book called Lime that is a model story of domestic abuse. And I'd like to do it in October for Domestic Abuse Awareness Month.
Wow. And you are a working full-time nurse, too. That's a great thing. You two are quite a pair. I'll tell you that right now. You two are quite a pair. They're going to be at the Beverly Arts Center. What day is 17th?
And it's a Saturday night.
Saturday night, a week from this coming Saturday. A week from this coming Saturday at the Beverly Arts Center. We speak Chicagoese, which is a gathering of, how many again, Dennis? How many writers?
You get 33 stories and poems and about 25 writers in there.
including Stuart Dybeck, Rick Hogan, Joe Mino. So many of these people have been on the radio show, so I wish Sherwood Anderson has. Another thing, Eric Charles May, Frank Norris, Mike Houlihan, Tony Serratella. How did you find Tony?
And Tony, I'll tell you, his one of his relatives is a guy, Paulie. It's Uncle Paulie, Paulie Serratella. So he put me in touch with Tony, and we hit it off, and he was gave me a nice piece about what it was like as a little kid when World War II came to an end.
Yeah. Did anybody turn you down, Dennis? And you don't have to name names in this thing. But
you know what? I mean, I had a couple people that just didn't get back to me, but nobody that officially said no. So I really was, you know, obviously pleased with the people that we have. And, it, you know, I mean, it's 237 pages. And some of those pages, like you had mentioned, there's some pretty cool photos that like kind of almost like a glue that holds the stories together.
They're really nice photos. I think that's a very nice touch. And, again, you and your pal, Bill Donlan, have put this thing together, very handsomely produced. It's a lot of bang for 1595. I will tell you that.
And it was fun working with Bill on this because he's a he's not a Chicago guy.
Yeah.
He's from Nashville originally, and you know, so I would look at it with that Chicago lens, and he'd have the outsider's lens saying this will relate to anybody. So it was a good mix.
That's great. Not my place to be proud of you, pal, but I'm proud of you. This is a
Thanks.
Really, and you can be very, very proud of this book. And Penny, I know you're going to have a ball on the 17th.
I am, interview. Because I'm not just looking at it like a book launch. It's a celebration of Chicago writers.
Aren't you the best? Aren't you just the best? It's so nice to meet you. The easiest thing to do is go to beverlyartcenter.org. But again, about 6 o'clock on the evening of September 17th, have a beer or two, grab a seat, and celebrate. Not just Chicago, but Chicago between the covers of a book called We Speak Chicago. We thank you, too, so
thank
much.
Thank you for having
thank
us on.
Always good
us.
To see you, Dennis. And Penny, pleasure to meet you. Pleasure to meet you. We'll be talking cabaret in the next hour, so please stay tuned. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.